My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ, the portion of Scripture for our focus and our meditation now comes just a few verses before our Old Testament lesson, also from Ezekiel chapter 2, but it's the call of Ezekiel, verses 1 to 5, we read. He said to me, "Son of man, stand up on your feet, and I will speak with you." The Spirit entered into me as He spoke to me and brought me up to my feet. Then I heard Him speaking to me. He said to me, "Son of man, I am sending you to the people of Israel, to disloyal nations who have been disloyal to me. They and their fathers have rebelled against me to this very day. These children of mine are brazen-faced and hard-hearted. I am sending you to them, and you are to tell them that this is what the Lord God says. Then, whether they listen or do not listen, for they are a rebellious house, then they will know that a true prophet has been among them." The Word of our God. Communication is important. Not just for being able to get your point across to another person, not just in spoken language, but communication on every avenue is vital. There's a very good reason why we have developed so many ways of communicating. Get past written language. Get past spoken language. We put together a postal system so that letters can travel one place to another. People use fire and smoke signals for years to get a point across, at least to announce a warning. And then it moves on to things like Morse code, telephones, internet. All of them used as avenues of communication to make sure that we can get our message across in a timely way, because communication is too important not to. Everybody needs to communicate. If you are going to live in this world and interact with anyone ever, you need a way of communication. Because if you don't, well, then you just spin your wheels. Nobody knows what you're saying. Nobody knows what you're doing. Husbands and wives, they have to communicate. Come at it from the same playing field, so to speak. You're on the same page. So it's not contradictive. You have to be able to communicate if you're going to work with anybody in any project. Or else you'll both find out that either you did the same thing or you're going in completely different directions. Imagine this for a moment. You have a doctor who has developed the cure for the absolute worst disease known to mankind. But if that doctor doesn't communicate that with anybody else, then what good does it serve humanity? We have to be able to communicate. We need to be able to get our message across and have it be received and understood. Today we take a look at God's Word once again, and we realize that God says, "I will communicate with my people." That same powerful word that created all things is the same word that God now uses for you. It's the way God communicates with you. But He says, "I need to make sure they hear it. I need to make sure they have it." Because if Adam and Eve had received the word from God Himself, but then never shared it, never passed it along, if it didn't come down to people like Moses and the prophets who wrote it down so that we could know it today, it would serve us no benefit. It had to be communicated. And it still does today. How does God do that? Well, sure, He does it through the written word. But He also has called those who know His word to be ministers of the gospel and to proclaim it through the world. That's what happens here. That's what happens when He calls Ezekiel. Now, you have to understand something about Ezekiel. Ezekiel was really just a normal guy. He was a priest, sure, living among the exiles. In fact, when Ezekiel chapter 1 begins, he's on the Kibar River with the rest of the exiles, when all of a sudden he sees this vision of Ezekiel. Nothing that would set him apart as being great and glorious and wonderful. But this is whom God would use to proclaim His message. And the same is true for us. We might not see anything special within ourselves. We might not see any reason why God would choose us to be His messengers of the gospel. And yet that's the avenue He chooses for communication, that He would work through us. Which really leads us to understand that God's Word powers His ministry. Ezekiel did not have an easy ministry. Take a look. Read through the book of Ezekiel, and you're going to realize that you do not want to be him. I guarantee it. Because after this whole tempest thing takes place, after he falls on his knees before God, after God calls him to be his minister, he says, I'm sending you to the people. And the way that you're going to minister to the people, here, let me just give you a couple examples. You are going to go out into town square and you're going to lay on your side for years. That's it. Lay on your side so the people can see you for years. They're going to think you're nuts. And they did. And then when it's all done, do you know what you get to do? Stand up and lay on your other side for years. And they'll still think you're crazy. I'm going to have you bake your own bread. But not over wood, not over coals. No, nothing so pleasant. You're going to take excrement and do it. And then when all that is said and done, the one person in the whole world who didn't think you were crazy, your wife, I'm going to take her life so that you're alone. That's Ezekiel's life. So now, with the short version, you tell me, do you want to be Ezekiel? No. But Ezekiel was receiving a calling from God. And he would do it. And he would do all of these things. I won't say he was exceptionally pleased about them, but he was honored to be able to be the minister of God who was called for an express purpose. And all of it was for a purpose. Because even when we can't see it in our own lives, even when we don't realize it, God's word powers his ministry through you. How amazing it is. So let's take a look at this call of Ezekiel and what exactly is wrapped up in it. We went to Ezekiel chapter 2, the first few verses. Now, we could have looked also at our first Old Testament lesson, the one that talks about Ezekiel eating the scroll and going, and it says very similar things. But here is the actual call to ministry. He said to me, Son of man, stand up on your feet and I will speak with you. The Spirit entered into me as he spoke to me and brought me up to my feet. And then I heard him speaking to me. As we said before, Ezekiel was there standing on the Kibar River and there wasn't really anything special about him. At least not that we realize, not that we're told. Perhaps if they weren't hauled off into exile, he would have held a position of power, a position of glory. He certainly doesn't now. He's just an exile. He's just a normal guy. And yet, this normal guy is the one that the Lord says, now, I'm going to use you. Was there anything special about Ezekiel? No. We take a look at any of the prophets that God chose. Is there anything special about them? No. The apostles that were called? No. Us? No. God chooses faithful people to do his will, but it's his power that does the work. It's God's word that works through ministers of the gospel. It's God's power that can change hearts and save souls. In fact, here when Ezekiel is on his knees because of everything that he has seen, and God says, get up, do you notice who lifts him up? It isn't Ezekiel even by his own power that gets on his feet before God, because he has no right to stand before the power and glory of Almighty God. He's still on his knees, but the Spirit fills him, and the Spirit lifts him to his feet. The Spirit lifts every single one of us to our feet. When Jesus sent the 72 out to go and proclaim the message to the villages, it wasn't they who had the power to do it. It was the Spirit working through them that had the power. It wasn't each individual disciple who was able to command the demons and even they listened to us. It was God working through them. And we have to remember that first and foremost, that when we have a minister of the gospel, no matter who they are, it's not the individual who holds the power, but it's God who works through them. And that can be difficult for us to understand. and sometimes it's difficult for people to accept because we don't like it when people tell us what God's Word says, because many times it makes us feel really bad and guilty about what we've done. We take a look at God's Word and we come to a realization that we haven't lived up to His standard. We haven't been perfect like He said. And all of those things that maybe I even in my own sinful pleasure enjoy, God calls me to account for. I don't like that. I mean, how many of you like it when someone comes to you and says, "I'm not so sure that what you are doing is right. I think you have sinned. Our natural reaction to that isn't a pleasant one. Usually gets defensive. I don't want to hear that. Who are you to speak to me? Who are you to judge me? Have you taken a look at your own life first? But the power doesn't come from the person. The power comes from God. If an individual is faithfully proclaiming God's Word, the power doesn't have anything to do with the individual he calls and everything to do with him. In fact, if someone's proclaiming the Word of God, who's really speaking? It's not the person. It's the Lord. That's His Word. God's Word powers His ministry. Even through normal guys like Ezekiel, and even through normal people like us. And when we proclaim that Word, even if the world doesn't like it, it's God's power within that Word, not ours. Which leads us to take a look at what the Lord told Ezekiel to expect. People of Israel, to disloyal nations who have been disloyal to me. They and their fathers have rebelled against me to this very day. These children of mine are brazen-faced and hard-hearted. I am sending you to them, and you are to tell them that this is what the Lord God says. Brazen-faced and hard-hearted. In other words, they don't like to listen. Ezekiel realized that. He had seen. I mean, the very fact that they were in exile was because the Israelites had turned their back on God. God had called them to repentance how many times? And they still hadn't repented. They still didn't turn back to Him. They continued to worship their false idols. They continued to live a life however they pleased, regardless of what was God's Word and God's will. They didn't want anything to do with God. And now they're paying the price of their own choices. And now here Ezekiel is, and he has to preach that message to these people, and he's going to have to do it in such a disturbing way. They're hard-hearted. In other words, chances are good they're not even going to want to hear it, they're not even going to want to listen, even now that they're in exile. In other words, sometimes when we get called as ministers of the gospel, when the Lord works through His people and to His people, what we see isn't exactly the most pleasant. I mean, every single one of us has seen that opportunity or found that time when, even in the life of a Christian, it doesn't look very Christian. We're not living the way God would want us to. We're not following what He has said. I've known plenty of people who have said, there is a difference between one aspect of my life and another. In other words, I'm going to act different on Sunday morning than I do the rest of the week because that's just how the world works. There's plenty of opportunities for us to see, even when we minister to God's people, even when we tell the world what it is that God has done for them in infinite love and mercy through Jesus, the response that we get is appalling. Ezekiel is being told, you're not always going to like what you see when you proclaim the message. I had the distinct privilege of being called as a public minister of the gospel. That just means that I stand up here instead of doing it with you out there. But in this context, we get to see things. Times where we know good, faithful Christians who ought to know better and don't act like they know better. When the rebuke has to come and the call to sin has to happen, when repentance is encouraged, if not demanded, And we sit here and we go, man, I think it ought to be different than this. This isn't how it should happen. And yet we have to understand that now, because we live in a fallen world, sin is normal. It's not all that surprising anymore. Should we still be appalled by sin? You better believe it. But are we all that surprised by it? I mean, let's face it, we live in a world that has come to the point where sin is almost encouraged, even within the fabric of our own society. What is considered to be morally corrupt according to God's Word is now the standard for life. Are we all that surprised? When God calls ministers of the gospel, He does it for a reason. He does it because those normal people who will now proclaim the power of His world have to go on into a world of normal people who normally sin now. It's part of who we are as long as we are this side of heaven. And we're not always going to like what we see. So what do we use that for? Is that a deterrent? I better not go out and do it. It's going to be hard. Why would I want to go and preach to such sinners? I think that gives us our motivation. That's the entire purpose. Because I was a sinner lost in my own sin before Christ found me. And before, by His almighty word, by His powerful death, by all that He has done for me, I have been made clean and forgiven, and my name is now written in the book of life. I was destined to hell. And He pulled me away from that life and gave me the promise of heaven. And He did the same thing for you, and He's offering the same to the rest of the world. We might not always like what we see. It's not always going to be pleasant. But that's the point. That's why it's so needed. So what do we need to do? Well, God tells Ezekiel this. Then, whether they listen or do not listen, for they are a rebellious house, then they will know that a prophet has been among them. What are we going to do when we see a world that is so enthralled with sin? What are we going to do at those opportunities and times when we say, well, I can tell them what God's Word says, but all I'm going to do is be wasting my breath. They're not going to listen anyway. That's what God pretty much told Ezekiel, didn't He? They're a hard-hearted people. They might not listen to you. They're a rebellious house. And so what does He tell Ezekiel to do? Don't worry about it. It's not worth your time. No, go and preach the Word. And that way, whether they listen or not, they will know a prophet has been among them. What are we going to do in this world? We're going to keep preaching the Word. Regardless on how it's received, regardless on whether the world wants to hear it or not, because God works through His Word. It will always accomplish what it was intended to accomplish. Either it will save people's lives and eternal souls, or it will condemn them in their unbelief because they reject it. Regardless of what it does, it is accomplishing the purpose God sends it out to do. What does that mean for us who know His Word and know His will? What responsibility then do we have? Well, we as faithful Christians have a responsibility then to hear His Word and take it as it is. His Word. Not to reject it out of hand because I don't like what it says. Not to act like it's unimportant and not something I need to proclaim. But to be able to say, Lord, this is Your Word and Your power works through Your Word. And Your Word is proclaimed through Your messengers. And sometimes You send them to me in my life, a variety of different people. At different times. But for us to reject it out of hand is to reject the very power of God, the salvation of souls, and the forgiveness He has won. So what responsibility do we have? We have a responsibility to see the Word as it is, and when we have it proclaimed to us, no matter where it comes proclaimed from, to see it as such, and to hear His Word and let it work. We have the responsibility to take that Word and to proclaim it to a world so that God can say, now the world will know, regardless of whether they accept it or not, that a prophet, my minister, was among them, and the Word was preached. Communication. That's what it all comes down to. That's what we have been tasked with, to communicate that powerful Word of God. And God's Word is what gives it the power. Whether it's through sinners like us or through sinners like someone else, it is the power of God through His Word. So communicate it. Whether the world wants to hear it or not, that doesn't matter. God's Word must be proclaimed. And it will accomplish what He intends it to accomplish. And it will do what needs to be done. Because when that message of Christ crucified and resurrected hits the sin-burdened heart, it does amazing things. Preach the Word. Amen.